Hello, and welcome to Under New Management, the podcast that highlights new and notable management research that can help you enhance your leadership effectiveness. In this episode, we look at the connection between culture and leadership. I talk with Brad Kirkman of the Mays Business School at Texas A&M University. He and his colleagues recently published a study that looked at the effects of power distance on follower reactions to transformational leaders. Brad Kirkman, welcome to Under New Management.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here, and I'm excited to talk a little about this project.
Super. Well, Brad, you've done quite a bit of cross-cultural research in your career, particularly on how culture affects work teams. In this study, though, you look at how culture affects leadership. Why is it important to consider culture when talking about leadership?
Great question. I think for a variety of reasons. I'd say the last 40 to 50 years of cross-cultural research, a lot of it done before I even got interested in the subject, shows that culture, and what we refer to as national culture rather than, say, organizational culture, definitely has a strong effect on the way employees react to work-related things. For example, it could be whether they prefer working alone or in groups, how they want to be compensated, how they prefer to make decisions, and also the informal norms and rules of the workplace. So if that's true, if we know that cross-cultural values or national cultural values affect people's reactions to work, then it's not a great extension to say that their values would affect the way they react to leaders, since leadership is an extremely important aspect of work. It's well known, again, the last 20 years of research on leadership, that individuals have ideas in their head about what constitutes an effective leader. And researchers would call that implicit leadership theories. Mm-hmm. And even if you look within a single country like the U.S., people differ on how they want to be led. Some want more autonomy, others might like more direction, that kind of thing. But it's also true that these implicit theories, or what you might call prototypes, are in part culturally bound. So you'll know that there are some differences in the way people want to be led across countries. So there's a cross-country variation and there's some within-country variation. So the bottom line there is, if you can understand how culture affects people's reactions to leaders, then you can coach those leaders, particularly if they're born in one country and working in another, about what some of the most appropriate leadership styles or behaviors would be based on those cultural leadership prototypes.
Okay, then. So what do we know from past research about how culture affects leadership?
I think we know quite a bit. My colleagues and I in 2006 did a pretty big comprehensive review that appeared in the Journal of International Business Studies. And we basically reviewed the most popular cultural value framework. That's the one by Gert Hofstede. So we reviewed all the work that's been done since his seminal book was published in 1980. From that review, we know for sure that culture and cultural values affect people's reactions to leaders. I'll give you an example. People who are from more collectivistic cultures, like Japan and Mexico, those cultures that tend to value the welfare of the groups. The group could be the work group, the family, it could be the organizational group, but they value the group over self-interests. Mm-hmm. On the opposite end of that would be cultures that are individualistic. Those cultures like the U.S., Great Britain, Australia, where typically the individual is of primary importance. So we know that those who are from more collectivistic cultures tend to have a higher preference for leaders that we would categorize as transformational. In short, transformational leaders typically have a vision of the future. They intellectually stimulate their subordinates. They challenge them. They provide a great deal of support to them. They recognize the importance of individual differences, and they set high expectations. There is another line of research that I'm not involved in, the GLOBE study. I think it's the Global Leadership and Organizational Behavior Study. Mm-hmm. There's one finding that sticks out to me from their research, is that they clearly state that there are some leadership styles and behaviors that are absolutely universally endorsed in every one of those 62 countries. Mm-hmm. There are some that are universally disliked in all 62 of those countries. Mm-hmm. And then they have a third category. They suggest that certain leadership styles and behaviors are actually very much country dependent. So you'll find a lot of variation between countries. Let me give you a couple of examples of what those would be. So there are some that are universally endorsed leadership behaviors. So we would suggest that managers are safe exhibiting these behaviors and styles in just about any country in the world. And I think when you hear what they are, they'll make sense. There are things like trustworthiness, being just, being honest, having foresight and planning ahead. That's an aspect of transformational leadership, the vision piece. Being positive, dynamic, encouraging, motivating, building confidence in followers. That's another dimension of transformational leadership. It's known as the inspirational dimension. Being communicative, informed, being someone who's a coordinator and a team integrator. So all of those things, to a large degree, those behaviors and styles, tend to work well in all those countries. On the opposite side, being a loner and asocial, being non-cooperative and irritable, and being dictatorial and autocratic. So people in those nations in their study would react, generally speaking, fairly negatively to those behaviors. Now, the last set, the ones that really depend on country, so this is the one we really want to talk about in terms of knowing where the manager is going, and then you'd be able to tell him or her if these behaviors were more or less being received well or not. One is being individualistic or autonomous, and that clearly has a connection to individualism, collectivism. A second one is being status conscious. So some leaders certainly value status and power, and their followers are fine with that. That's sort of seen as a valuable thing. And that has a link to a cultural value called power distance, which relates to basically the extent to which people in a certain country value status and power differences, just like the term suggests. The third one is being a risk taker. So in some cultures, leaders taking risks is fine. In other cultures, they do not want their leaders to take a lot of risks. And that relates to a cultural value called uncertainty avoidance, which is in certain countries, people really try to avoid uncertainty and risk-taking. Other countries, not so much.
Brad, you just mentioned power distance as a cultural value that might affect leadership. And you looked at power distance in your particular study. So can you give us a little more information about what power distance is?
Sure. Power distance is the extent to which people in a particular country value power and status differences. What's been a little confusing about this particular construct and its definition is people wonder, is it a country-level construct or phenomenon, or can it also exist at the individual level? We think it can be both, so we sort of renamed our individual-level version. We renamed it power distance orientation to make sure people know that we're talking about power distance at the individual level. Some of my colleagues, Jason Colquitt and those folks, have done the same thing with individualism and collectivism. They call their construct psychological collectivism. So the first thing to know is that this phenomenon or construct exists at multiple levels. We're particularly interested in how it functions at the individual level. So at the individual level, if you were looking or observing someone who is high in power distance orientation, they would tend to behave more submissively around their managers. They would typically avoid disagreements. They might believe that bypassing their bosses or working around their bosses would constitute insubordination. They typically obey their leader instructions without questioning them. They believe that their leaders deserve high levels of respect and deference. They're likely to even see their leaders as superior, almost an elite class of people. And they tend to accept their own decision-making limitations while trusting that the leaders provide much more reliable decisions.
This sounds like the kind of followers that most leaders would love to have.
Absolutely. If there was a world in which you could just tell people what to do and they would all go and do it, that would be great. We do know in many of the Western cultures where power distance is not as prevalent or not as high, that people tend to benefit from more freedom and autonomy and responsibility. It tends to translate into not only more positive affective reactions like job satisfaction and commitment, but it also translates into higher levels of things like creativity and performance. So certainly power distance is neither good nor bad in and of itself, but these differences that we'll find across countries would definitely influence how a leader might decide to behave or what leadership style he or she might choose to exhibit.
Okay. Well, there are a couple of other concepts in your study that may not be familiar to our listeners. Now, you talked already briefly about transformational leadership as one of them. Do you want to say anything else about that?
Yeah, transformational leadership is so well known around the world. Certainly in the U.S., it's been well known for years. Lots of books written on it. I think practitioners are familiar with transformational leaders. You think about a Lee Iacocca. You think about a Martin Luther King Jr. And these leaders really, they set very high expectations for their followers. So transformational leadership, I'd say for the last 30 years, particularly in the U.S., has almost been thought of as the right way to lead, right? The moral way to lead. So certainly we wanted to include transformational leadership because it has been so important for practitioners and also received a tremendous amount of research support. the second construct you asked about, procedural justice, not a term you hear a lot in organizations. You probably hear it more, you talked about it as fairness, but the definition is that, the perceived fairness of the decision-making criteria used by leaders and organizations. So it would relate to very large, important decisions like salary increases, how are those decided, promotion decisions, but also decisions you might think are kind of small but still very important to employees, like office assignments, where people get to work, who goes on vacation when. I mean, all of those decisions have elements of fairness in them. And procedural justice, again, just relates to the fairness of the criteria used to make those decisions. It's also been shown when you give employees a voice or to have some kind of influence over the decision, they tend to see those decisions as more procedurally just.
Mm-hmm.
The last construct in the study is something called organizational citizenship behaviors, or OCBs. This is more of the behavioral side of our model. You know, procedural justice is a cognitive aspect of the model. It's a perception, right? It's something that goes on inside someone's head. Organizational citizenship behavior is what it says. It's a behavior. Behaviors that typically go above and beyond an employee's formal job description. Some examples might be helping new coworkers learn their jobs, staying late after hours to finish an assignment, talking up the organization to outsiders. And I always tell my classes, if you're a manager and you ask someone to do something or you hear someone maybe saying, that's not in my job description, it's probably someone who is pretty low on OCBs. You want people in your companies to go above and beyond the call of duty. It certainly has a big impact on the bottom line. You'd be particularly concerned about that in service organizations where customer service is an important aspect. So besides power distance, we had transformational leadership, procedural justice, and organizational citizenship behaviors in our model.
And now that we know what all of these are, what did you expect to find?
The first thing we did is we thought that transformational leadership should relate to both procedural justice and also organizational citizenship behaviors. And we also thought that procedural justice should help to explain the relationship between transformational leadership and organizational citizenship behaviors, or OCB. That's actually been shown before. So the logic there is that transformational leaders typically allow employees to have a say in what's going on in the organization. That typically, as I said, inspires more procedural justice perceptions.
Right.
And that if those folks perceive that the criteria used to make decisions by their manager are fair, then they'll typically be inspired to go above and beyond their formal job requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought our added value here is a couple things. One is, the study was conducted in both the United States and China. So one thing was to try to figure out, does this sort of three-variable model work in China as it works in the U.S., which is a modest contribution. I think our real value added here was trying to determine how that first relationship, the relationship between transformational leadership and procedural justice, how might the strength of that relationship or even the direction of that relationship be affected by people's power distance orientation. What we expected there is that since high power distance orientation employees expect their leaders to communicate strong directives, not a lot of explanation, no room for clarifying questions, you know, a transformational leader that strives to intellectually stimulate subordinates by challenging them to re-examine their assumptions about their work or rethink how their jobs can be performed would likely be met with suspicion from followers who are higher in power distance. They just don't expect to be involved. They don't expect their leaders to challenge them, or at least challenge them to think on their own, to do any kind of self-management, to be creative, to make decisions without the boss. You know, these are typical things transformational leaders would do, and we would suggest that people would respond more positively if they were lower in power distance orientation rather than higher.
Okay. Well, can you talk briefly about your sample and your research methods?
The participants were part-time MBA students in both the U.S. and China. Most of our MBA students, since they are part-timers, are full-time workers, and they have employees. So we asked the managers to pass out surveys to their subordinates. And the subordinates themselves, the followers, if you will, they measured perceptions of that manager's transformational leadership, perceptions of procedural justice of that manager's decisions, and then we assessed their own power distance orientation.
Okay.
The MBA students, the managers, actually rated all of the followers on organizational citizenship behavior. So we had, importantly, had a separate source of data for our outcome. So we avoided some of the statistical problems with collecting data from all the same source.
Sure.
We viewed, as others do, transformational leadership as a group-level construct. So when transformational leaders are leading groups, they typically exhibit those behaviors and styles to influence their entire group.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually aggregated the transformational leadership construct to the group level of analysis, and that kind of made our study multi-level since we had both group level and individual level data. And most people that study transformational leadership before us, especially recently, are viewing transformational leadership as a group level construct. And since we had data at two levels, we used a statistical technique called hierarchical linear modeling to test our hypotheses.
Okay, so you had a whole bunch of different organizations represented here in two different countries, both the U.S. and the People's Republic of China.
That's correct.
All right, so what were your results?
The results, fortunately, all of our hypotheses were supported. The first thing was that transformational leadership was indeed related to both procedural justice perceptions and also organizational citizenship behavior. And importantly, we weren't completely sure, but we expected there to be not a lot of difference at the country level. We expected more of our differences at the individual level. So that finding held in both the U.S. and China. So there was no difference across the countries. We did find two differences. One we expected to find, for sure, and the other one just kind of a curious finding. The first one was we expected the Chinese to be higher in power distance orientation on average compared to the U.S. Many studies have come along before us and demonstrated that the Chinese are typically higher on power distance, and that's exactly what we found.
But it was really important, sort of not what the power distance was at the country level, but as you talked about power distance orientation, what it was for each individual, right?
Right, and I think a lot of the research that's done in cross-cultural management typically will look at the country level and not pay a lot of attention to what's happening at the individual level. And certainly since I'm more of a micro-researcher, you know, that kind of gets under my skin, and I think, well, there's a lot of interesting variation that's being ignored at the individual level, so that's why we pursued more of this notion of power distance orientation rather than at the country level. And as you just said, power distance at the individual level did play a role. The relationship between transformational leadership and procedural justice was influenced by power distance orientation, such that the relationship was stronger for those lower in power distance.
So people who had low power distance orientation, transformational leadership really matters in terms of their perceptions of procedural justice.
Yes.
But for people who are high in power distance orientation, transformational leadership doesn't matter so much.
Not as much. There is a positive trend for those that are both lower and higher in power distance. It's just that we found that transformational leadership matters more for fairness perceptions when people are lower versus higher in power distance.
Okay. And these mattered for these organizational citizenship behaviors as well?
It did. And the findings held in both the U.S. and China.
So to sum up your findings, being a transformational leader positively affects employees' procedural justice perceptions, which in turn positively affects the degree to which they engage in organizational citizenship behaviors. But this is even stronger for employees who are lower in power distance orientation.
That's exactly right. You will get more bang for your buck in terms of exhibiting transformational leadership when you're leading people who have lower power distance orientations.
All right. So how can leaders apply your findings?
Well, here's where I think we go a little bit beyond, or at least add something to some of the studies I was talking about earlier, like the GLOBE studies or Hofstede's work or Shalom Schwartz's work. So here's what we would recommend. Use those findings as kind of a starting point, rules of thumb. If you're from the U.S. and you're going into China for your first Chinese managerial assignment, you'll want to get your hands on some of that research to prepare you for some of the differences that you might find when you start leading folks there. And that's great. But we would add that the most successful managers, those that really want to be the best performing managers, no matter what country they're in, they'll want to get to know their followers as individuals, and particularly their followers' values. And then they'll know how best to lead them.
So not so much when in Rome, do as the Romans do?
That's exactly right. That's a line from our paper. We changed that saying to when in Rome, get to know Romans as individuals. That will be the most effective thing.
We've been talking with Brad Kirkman of Texas A&M University. Brad, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Mike. I really enjoyed it, and hopefully the managers out there can find this information useful.
Thank you for downloading Under New Management, a podcast of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. The OB division has over 6,000 members dedicated to both the scholarship and practice of organizational behavior. For more information, visit www.obweb.org. For more information about the Academy of Management and its over 19,000 members in over 100 countries, visit www.aomonline.org. Thanks to Andy Robbins of Audiophile Solutions for sound editing this episode, and to Richard Landers for web support.